Isaiah chapter 48, turn there. Isaiah chapter 48, let me make sure this thing's on. Gil. Isaiah 48. God's given me another message out of this one verse. A verse that I didn't even know was in the Bible. But I'll tell you what, I've been blessed by it. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed just doing this study. And God has helped me in a lot of ways, and I've seen God do some things with some people here and folks that are watching online through the Word of God. I don't take credit for it. I really don't. We've got some visitors here from out of town. Got a young man from Indiana. It's good to have him, and a young lady from Cuba, Missouri. And we're starting to get people. I don't know if you've noticed. We'll have people filter in about every weekend. And just come visit us, and I'll just say this to anybody watching: if you just want to come down, just sit here in Bethel. I mean, we just love to have you, and I hope you found out that what people are seeing on the camera is the real deal when you get here. That's what I hope. But anyway, people coming here, I don't want it to be about me ever. Because if it turns into that, God will put me out. It's about what God said. It's about God's Word. It's about God's blessings and what He's going to do in your life. And not what Mike Hoggard or Bethel Church does in your life. Can I get amen out of God's people? Men are expendable and we can be corrupt at times. But God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And it's His Word that heals us. It's His Word that does things in our lives. And I've been preaching the last... A couple messages out of this thing in Isaiah chapter 48 on unprofitable. Last Sunday it was good for nothing churches, unprofitable churches, churches that are good for nothing. The day before that it was how we personally we can be bums, we can be no good for nothing. And today it's a little bit different. It is how you personally can profit. How you personally can profit. Now, if my name was Kenneth or Joyce or Joel up here, then you would know for a fact that this message is going to be about how much more money you can have in your account. I'm not either one of those. Bless God. Amen. Money is not it. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible. Ended up being a failure. There's nothing worse than that to a man. Even to a mom, but especially to a man. There's nothing worse than that. Roy comes in here and tells me all the time, the job he used to have, where is it now, Roy? Mexico. Down in Mexico. I hope they're enjoying the work. They got to feed their families too, but there's nothing more disheartening to that. There's nothing more disheartening to us who love this country to see the condition that it's in. Can I get an amen out of God's people? It's like, what have we been doing all of our lives? Why have we been paying taxes? Why have we supported this country? Why have we done this? Why have we saluted our flag? Why have we done this? And God has built it into the heart of a man to want to look back either at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of a year, or the end of a life, and look back and say, it was worth it. It was worth it. So he said, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read a passage out of there, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. All right? Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start reading in verse 24. Boy, speaking of profit, it's raining out there. Somebody say amen to rain. Need a little bit. The garden's getting dry. I'm so proud of myself. I went out and got some real nice tomato plants from an old friend of mine. And he just gave them to me. He was selling them on the roadside. And he knew me and he just gave them to me. And I planted them. Boy, I was so proud of myself. Me and Caleb went out there. We counted 24 little tomatoes out there on them plants. Deer come up and ate every one of them. Five more months, Jim says. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Are you there? Say amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, listen to this now, dads. Let him deny himself. I believe a dad ought to be a servant to his family. I believe a dad ought to be a servant to his family. I believe a dad ought to make sure that his kids has got shoes and they've got food on the table before he goes and wastes his check at the tavern. That's what I believe. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. You know what that means? It's your burden. And God gave you stronger, broader shoulders than your wife. Dads, you listen to me. It is not your wife's responsibility to bear the spiritual burden of the family. It is yours. That's your cross. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, God's trying to teach you now how to have personal profitability. And really, this is not so that, I mean, I've been kind of preaching how you can be a blessing to other people. This is for you. This is how you can have the blessing of God in your life. This is for you now. And he says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you were to put that in a ledger, here is the whole world here in the income margin column. And here's your soul down at the bottom at the expense, in the expense column. And at the end of your life, I don't care if you're Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. At the end of your life, even if you have gained the whole world and you lost your soul, you've lost everything. It's nothing. There is not enough money in the world to buy your own soul. Not enough money in the world. And we live, listen to me, we live in a nation of sellouts. We got sellout politicians. We got sellout pastors. Sellout church members. Sellout American citizens. Who are selling out the rights and freedoms that we have in this country for the government to protect us and give us money. It's a sellout. What shall it profit you if you shall get... What shall it profit you if you shall gain a pension and lose your soul? Well, this Bible's right, isn't it? This Bible is right. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There are things that people have given in exchange for their soul. Let me run down some scriptures for you. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. Jacob sowed pottage in the field, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Edom means red. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." You know what that was? That was his soul. "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" Esau was a sellout. And when Jesus gave this teaching, he had Esau in his mind. There's other things he had in his mind, but this is what he had in his mind. And men, women, young people, I want you to listen to the preacher this morning. Because I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you, I'm strongly protesting to you, don't sell your soul for anything. The soul, if your soul ends up in God's hands at the end of your life, you have profited. If you've lost your soul and chased down everything else in the world, you've lost it all. You'll get nothing at the end. Is there any gold in hell? Is there any food in hell? You're the food. You're the food. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to bless this message. I need your help. I need your blessing.
Lord, I need it.
Like everybody else does. Lord, I'm asking you to preach to me. Lord, if something gets a hold of my heart in the course of this message and it convicts me, help me to preach it anyway. Because what's good for me is probably good for everybody else here. And Lord, you've had to teach me in life some hard, hard lessons. You've used my family to do it. You've used my church people, my friends. God, you've even used lost people to teach me or remind me of things, God, that I had forgotten. And Lord, I'm just asking God for your grace to be manifested in this message. Lord, help us to learn from it. Help us to gain from it. Help it, Lord, to profit us and to be a blessing. Lord, please help us with that. Lord, help me to preach it now. And help me to say, Lord, what will help these people. Give them your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. While I was praying, I had a thought. I was trying to think of a way to convey this to you. Sometimes the only thing I know how to do is talk about myself. And I've told everybody I'm type 2 diabetic now, and I'm kind of it's settled way down. My blood sugar's in pretty good shape right now, but I just go back and I'm examining, you know, my whole lifestyle, things that I've eaten, and I've had people tell me, "Oh, Pastor, I wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't eat that." I would. I did. Man, I'd eat it. And the thing was, we just came back from Branson, and when you go to Branson, you eat Branson. Okay. You have a goal to go to Branson and run them completely out of food. So, I mean, we bought... And somebody, bless their heart, somebody, and they must have heard me say this one time, they sent me a six-pack, hang on, a six-pack of Coca-Cola in a glass bottle. Y'all remember the old days, don't you? Ain't nothing better than that. You take that ice-cold cola... Matthew was going, "How do you get them lids off there?" I said, "Matthew, back in the old days, they used their teeth." "No, no, no, no." So we went like that with a bottle opener. "Oh, that's what that's for." They didn't ever seen anything like that. So you just drink that ice cold Coca-Cola. 4,000 calories per serving. See, that's how I think now. It's loaded with sugar, loaded with calories, and it tastes like heaven, and I can't have it anymore. You know why? It won't profit me. It'll hurt me. You know what they call it? What's that word for them? Something, empty calories? Empty calories. It doesn't fill you up, but it gives you a lot of fat and a lot of sugar. So I spent all my week in Branson. We were eating fruit pies, kettle corn, taffy. We always go to Branson and get taffy. Sodas. I mean everything we'd get our hands on. Vain. Vanity. Almost killed me. I'm not joking. Had my blood sugar gone up a little bit more, that's getting into the area where that's dangerous. And it was empty and vain and a waste. And now I have to deal with the consequences. And I have to learn how to profit myself. And to keep myself going. To keep my head straight. To keep myself up off the couch. So I can come out here and preach to everybody and teach to everybody. That's what I have to do. So I'm learning this message. That's what I'm doing. I'm learning this message for you this morning. So I want it to be a blessing. But that's just the deal. You told the story of Esau and how Esau traded in his soul. His soul was his birthright. It was what he was going to hand down to his children and so on. And he traded it in for a bowl. It said red pottage. I like to think that was red beans and rice maybe or something like that. Amen? Or maybe a bowl of chili. Whatever. But he traded that in. Watch this now. He traded in what was eternal for what was temporary. This is what we do. And we're really good at it. And we find there's a word in the Bible. And a lot of ladies know about this because they've got a piece of furniture in their house somewhere that's named after this. It's called a vanity. Got one?
Got a vanity. You know why that called that a vanity? Because the woman will sit there and look in that mirror for an hour and work on that face. And when she gets up the next morning, she's got to do it all over again. It didn't last. It doesn't keep going. And ladies, if I could preach to you this morning, the beauty of your youth fades away. It doesn't last. And the only thing, I tell you what, the only thing, there are too many things more sickening in life to see some 70-year-old woman trying to look like she's still 20 years old. It doesn't last. It fades away. It's vanity. Are you listening this morning? So you know what ladies need to work on? Here. There's where your profiting comes in. What does the world, what do your children, what does your husband think about you? Is he, by the time you turn 50, 60 years old, is he looking for some 20-year-old gal? Or is he decided to stay with you because your heart is a heart of gold? So you think about that. Men and women, you think about that. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. God's defining vanity for us in the Scripture so we don't have to go wandering around figuring out what it is. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness." Sound familiar? Say amen. "Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." The message that I'm preaching to you today is that you're here sitting in church house. You're here on a Sunday morning. Maybe you said, well, you know, it's Father's Day. Maybe we'll go to church. Maybe you're online watching or whatever. But you've come to the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Serving God is not your part-time job. Serving God and living for God and profiting from God is not something that you can do on the sidelines and every now and then throw a little church service in there. Let me tell you something. If you want your life to mean something, if you want your life to last past your death, if you want to be able to look back on your life and get the satisfaction out of it, I guarantee you guys, listen to me guys, I guarantee you, you won't be sitting at the end of your life saying, "Boy, I wish I had more women." If you want anything and any satisfaction out of the end of your life, this is what I want you to think of. I want you to think of the bottom line. Think of the bottom, just like a ledger sheet. Think of the bottom line. And I'm here to tell you how God designed this message. God was putting this thing together for me, and this is what He was saying. Mike, serving the Lord, church going, Bible reading, praying, Christianity, as we commonly define it, is not part-time. It's not part-time. You either do it or you don't. I don't know of anybody who retired at 50 years old working part-time jobs all their life. I don't know of anybody that way. Christianity is not a part-time job. He said, "You serve the Lord with all your heart," verse 21, "and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things," now he's going to define it, "which cannot profit nor deliver." There it is right there. He's connected two words together for you. The profiting that you're going to need at the end of your life is deliverance from hellfire. Let me hear you say amen. The profiting that you are going to need at the end of your life on the bottom line. Do you have protection and deliverance from hellfire? Because if you don't, everything else in life is vanity and will do you no good. And you'll burn in hell forever. You know what that's called? In the accounting department, a loss. And you've been written off now as unredeemable. So I'm just kind of preaching this message this morning to you to let you know. And I want you to start thinking of the bottom line. I want you to start thinking of where you're headed. I want you to start thinking of what's going to happen when you draw your last breath and you close your eyes. Guys, all the beer you drank, all the cigarettes you smoked, all the dirty jokes you told, all the women you looked at, all the work you did, all the money you collected, all the houses you got, all the bass boats, all the fish you caught, all the trophies you got on the wall, will not buy your soul out of hell. Will not buy your soul out of hell.
You know what's going to happen? You know what happens nowadays, don't you? See, we don't get the idea of inheritance like they used to back in the old days. To us, an inheritance is something we hope we get so we can go to the casino with it. Oh, Dad died. That means I'm going to get $25,000. And Sterling, I've heard of people and known them. Got some kind of insurance check, got some kind of inheritance. Gone in one weekend. Gone in one weekend, Jim. Psalm 30, verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I shall go down to the pit? See, God's telling you what this means. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? You know what he's saying? What good is anything that I have, including my own blood, going to do me if I'm already in hell? Can I tell you something? And the world and the devil's trying to turn this doctrine around. Let me tell you something about you being in hell. If you go there, you're staying. You listen to Brady on that one. If you go there, you're staying. No profit. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? You know, we go to the cemeteries and we see these real nice monuments for people. You can tell somebody in the family had money, put these real nice monuments up there, talk about how nice, how good a person they were. Oh, they were this and they were that and the other. Did you know that that guy down that casket didn't give a flip about what's on there? Means nothing to him. The worms and the dust are not praising him. It's a loss. It's not profiting. Proverbs 10:2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. We spend... Where you work, they got a little retirement deal set up for you. That's good, isn't it? It's a good thing you don't work for Peabody Coal. I don't know whole much about it. I don't know who's right and who's wrong. I don't know the side. But apparently a bunch of guys worked for this company and put money in a pension, and now they ain't got it. Well, it ain't right. I got it. Did you know that that's how this world is? The Bible says, trust not in uncertain riches, for they grow themselves wings and fly away. Yeah. Treasures of wickedness profit of nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. See, death is the bottom line. That's where it's all going to be tallied up now, and it's going to be decided where you're going to spend eternity. It's at death. Righteousness delivered from death. Now let me just throw this in here. It is not talking about what you do right. This lady back here that gave that testimony of how you were blessed. Did you know that the guys who work for that company, they owe you a paycheck every week, don't they? They pay you for working there? Did they owe you that money for some reason that they gave you? You received it unmerited. Unmerited. That's how it is. That's the righteousness of Christ. Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Save your money up. Save your gold. Save your silver. Hey, the economy's bad. The dollar's going to go down in the toilet. Let's hoard silver and gold. Let's do all that stuff. Let's gather. Did you know it's not going to profit in the day of wrath? It's not going to save you from hell. Righteousness delivereth from death. Everybody take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. That's easy for you to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let me teach you about a guy, men, who worked all of his life and had money. He had women. He had wine. He had power. He had everything in the world. Let me tell you about the advice that the wealthiest man who ever lived, and I'm talking about even now, the wealthiest man who ever lived on this planet, let me show you what he said about his life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, are you there? Say amen. Verse 1, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Can I get amen out of you old winos? I mean it. You decided one day, you know what, I'm just going to drink. Did it profit you, Roy? It cost you, didn't it? He's still paying for it. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water with therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Guys, you gotta admit, that sounds pretty good. To be sitting in your house in your easy chair and go, and your little wife comes running to you, honey, what can I do for you? Make me a sandwich, woman. Yes, honey, I sure will. We would love to have that, wouldn't we? I've tried it at my house. Honey, I need some lunch. Refrigerator's there. Bread's up in the pantry. She's good to me. But see, that sounds nice for us to go. And have, listen to me, guys, have whatever we wanted right then. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings. Nations and kings paid Solomon taxes. They came from around the world. There's even a hint of evidence. I can't remember it right off the bat. That there were travelers from South America that came to meet Solomon and bring him gifts. May or may not be true. But certainly in that area and around, as far as people could get to, they came to see Solomon and paid him money. And of the provinces, I got me men singers and women singers. That means he had an iPod. And unlimited music downloads. Am I sprechen your Deutsch now? I got me men singers and women singers and movies and books and anything I wanted and video games from the internet and anything I wanted and little dirty pictures if I wanted them. He said, I got me everything that I could use to amuse my mind with. And the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Look at verse 10 now. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. If he saw it and he wanted it, he got it. That's every man's dream. It's every man's dream, Wayne. I like that boat there.
Yeah.
Go get me one better than that, what that guy's got. If he saw it, he got it. And I want to say to you men, if that is how you're trying to think, it's going to destroy you. Either God is going to leave you with a very large pile of junk, or somebody somewhere down the road is going to take most of it, if not all of it, away from you. Maybe your ex-wife. Or Barack.
Amen.
I get an amen out of you. And see, that's the thing. I come in here and preach against Barack Obama, and certain things you'd amen out the door. I'm trying to tell us guys how we are, and how we are is not good.
No.
You know how I know this stuff? I'm a guy. I'm a man, just like everybody else is. When I was young, and Lisa and I first got married, I just wanted to be rich. I just wanted money. I'd buy a lottery ticket every now and then, hoping it'd pay off so I wouldn't have to work the rest of my life. So that I could have stuff. I could have stuff and have junk and stuff and have possessions and this and that and the other. Wouldn't have to worry about anything. I'm just like everybody else. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Now look at verse 11. This is what he spent his life doing. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. You know what he's realizing, Brady? He's fixing to lose his own soul. I'm going to show you in the Bible. You'll have to forgive me. I can't see the clock. I've kind of lost track of time. But I'm going to try to finish this message if you'll just bear with me, all right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Let me show you how far God takes this thing. God's serious about it. If you've worked maybe to try to build your body up or maybe to try to your mind, certainly nothing wrong with those things. But if that's all you've got in life, you ain't got nothing. If you tried to build a large bank account, you tried to be tight with money, or maybe you've tried to invest in the right way and build some money and lay it back up for the last days of your life, certainly nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you got, you ain't got nothing. If you've worked and built you a nice house and got you a nice little place to live and got you a nice car and got you nice this, nice lawnmower and this, that, and the other, all these things, you got nice computers and tablets and phones and all that other junk. If that's what you're working for, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to work some extra hours at the job because I'm going to get me a new Xbox. Let me tell you what I found out about your Xbox. The new Xbox coming out, I guarantee it's going to have a back door right to the NSA. Guarantee you. Okay? You work for all that junk, at the end of your life, you got nothing. Nothing. There are people who are, their health this and health that. I'm having to learn some things to keep my body healthy. But there are people who have it, I guess they got it in their mind, that if they just keep doing health food and doing this and doing that and taking this and don't eat this from that farm and don't eat that from that store, I guess they got it in their mind that if they do that, they're going to extend their lives so far they don't have to worry about death. But it's coming. And at the end of your death is the bottom line for you. And when the accountant in God's throne sits down and writes everything out, I don't care what you've got, I don't care if you're like Moses, 120 years old, and he died with his full life force in him. But he died. And when they draw that line across the bottom, you can have whatever it is that you sought after in life. But if you've lost your soul, you've lost everything. It will not buy your way into heaven. Are you listening to me? Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. Why? For it is profitable to be for that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. See what profits you? Do you see how God sees this thing? Well, I believe that I went to Benny Hinn and I heard that God wants me to have a healthy body. Not if it's going to hurt your soul, he doesn't. Pluck it out. Cast it from you. It's not profitable for you. And then he said in verse 30, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. There's your profiting right there. What's the bottom line of your life look like? What's going to be written on that? What's going to be written in red or black at the bottom of your account? John chapter 6, verse 63. You say, okay, Pastor, I get it. All that stuff. Now, what profits me? What profits me? Easy stuff. This is so simple. I'm going to preach it in 5 minutes. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. There's your profit right there. And you know what? It's free. You don't have to work for it. In fact, it's already been translated and printed up for you. All you got to do is read it. There's your profiting. You know what happened? And you know, obviously, you know where I'm going with this. We've turned to the TV shows and all TV doctors, and we've turned to everything else in the world. We'll read books. We'll read how to do this and how to do that. We'll listen to talk shows. We'll look up stuff on the internet and all that stuff that we get into, and we won't crack our Bibles open. We won't open our Bibles. We'll go out and get entertainments, play games, listen to music, go to concerts, go to ball games. I don't have anything against going to ball games. I don't have anything against listening to music. I don't have anything against playing a video game every now and then. I don't have anything against that. But I'm going to tell you something. If that's all you are, there's nothing to you. You've met some of these girls. Boy, they were pretty. Woo, man, they were gorgeous. You got to talk to them a little bit and figured out that it was only skin deep. Amen? And there wasn't nothing to them. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But my doctor told me to exercise. Told me to do something with my muscles. I don't work in construction anymore, so I got to figure something else out to do. But godliness, watch, godliness profiteth unto all things. You know what that means, Dad? Quit saying cuss words. That's not godly. Quit looking at dirty magazines. That's not profitable. Your kids are going to pick up on that, by the way. Quit drinking. It's not profitable. Quit looking for another wife. It's not profitable. Quit all these things. Quit thinking that if you can just find some little dice or slice of satisfaction in your life, that you'll finally have achieved it. It's nothing. Godliness is where you need to be. Let me give you a verse out of the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. See, the Bible's right, isn't it? You're going about it the wrong way. You're trying to find satisfaction in work. You're trying to find satisfaction in money. You're trying to find satisfaction in status at your job site or wherever it is. You're trying to get your name in the paper. You're trying to hit a home run. You're trying to do whatever it is that this world offers you. And it will. Solomon said, I've been there, it's nothing. Solomon had a trophy roll. I mean, he had trophy walls. He had plaques. I mean, he had everything. Got him nothing. Vanity. 1 Timothy 4:13. Paul said to Timothy, who was a young bishop, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Dads, I'm going to ask you a question. How much Bible do you read a week? Could I ask your permission to have each dad stand up and declare publicly how much of the Bible they read last week? I won't do that. Guys are going, whew. I bet, I'm not your judge, so I don't know. I bet it'd be kind of embarrassing to actually stand up in public and tell everybody, I go to Bethel Church and we believe the King James Bible. How much did you read last week? I don't know. Did you know they're going to ask you that in heaven? Till I come, give attendance to reading. Dad, you want to be a better dad? It's here. Amen. You want to raise your kids right? It's here. Because I found out I didn't have all the answers. Mom and Dad tried to teach me stuff. They didn't give me all the answers. I had to find them out on my own. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Dads, let me say this to you too. You know what exhortation is? Son, that is great. Exhortation is putting whatever that is on that paper in magic marker up on the refrigerator. Amen. That's exhortation. Dads and moms,
giving their children the praise that they, because if they don't, listen to me, Dad, if
your daughter will not get it from you, she's going to be looking for a boy to get it from, and it'll always turn out bad. Did I say that right? You know what I'm talking about?
Exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Your personal profiting. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I have a responsibility. I cannot. God will not let me get away with being a phony preacher. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying everything I do is right. But what I'm telling you is, God will not let me get away with telling you people one thing while I secretly live another. The way that God has blessed this church and you people is because God has had to put me through the ringer first to show me how to have a little profiting in my life so that it would appear to you. So I know what I'm talking about. I used to be the bum, the one that'd sit around, play video games, and lay around and get money so I wouldn't have to go out and work. That's who I used to be. And God helped me. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Did you hear that?
Amen.
See how simple that was? I could have preached this 20 minutes ago. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Profitable. You've decided to do everything else. You neglected the only thing that will do you any good
and establish your bottom line. It's the only thing that's going to work. You put your trust in everything else, stinks to be you because it's not going to work out. I promise you.
Promise you. Stand to your feet. I love you, men. See, I don't really feel comfortable preaching this way to women unless God really gets a hold of me. Some of you guys have been in the military, haven't you? Did you ever had Richard Simmons for a drill sergeant? Come on, guys! You know what you had? Drop down and give me 50! You puke!
In the days of World War II, we had 16, 17-year-old boys off farms going to fight for their country. They were just boys who had to be trained in 6 weeks how to pull a trigger and kill another man. And not think twice about it. They didn't do it very nicely back then. I don't think they ought to do it nicely now. And so men, when I talk to you, I want to talk hard and straight and head on. I want to tell you what this Bible says. You're selling yourself and your family short if you neglect it. It's how simple it is. Read the book, guys. There's a man in this church quit school at a young age, taught himself how to read out of this book. If he can do it, you can do it.
Father in heaven, I love you. And I thank you for being my father. Lord, my earthly dad, oh, I miss him. He taught me how to know if I shot a deer. He didn't yell it to me. He just, son, if you hit him, he'll jump. Lord, he taught me that. He did it. He taught me some other things. See this, Mike? Look, watch what happens when I do this. Lord, he taught me some good things. Every now and then he had to raise his voice to me. I didn't like it. But I needed it. Because I had to be ready to stand in his shoes one of these days, and he knew it. Lord, I pray for my children, my daughters, my sons-in-law. I love them, love them, love them dearly. My boys. I try to teach them in a nice way. Every now and then I gotta drive it home. I don't like it. But I know, God, that they're going to have to stand one of these days in my place. And I know what they're headed for. Lord, I love these men in this church. I love them. These are my best friends in the whole world. Sometimes everything's nice. Sometimes it's not. I pray, God, Lord, that you would bless our men. Give us some strong men, God, that have personal profit in their life. Give us some men who will not back down from this Bible. Who will give attendance to it. Who will read it. Who will exhort his children with it. Who will study it, learn its doctrines. So they realize, God, that the faith that they have, and the faith they've been taught from the pulpit, is without a doubt the most valuable and essential thing in life to hand down to their wife and their children, and then their grandchildren. Lord, it's that important. Help us to not be Esau and sell it off. Thank you, God, for this message. Lord, I needed it. I needed it again. I pray that you'd bless these men in our church. Bless those that are listening. Lord, Father, Lord, that you're dealing with some men right now, helping them, encouraging them. Do that, God. And you get all the glory and all the praise. Pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you glad you came?